namastute tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari prishubhanu sudadevi pranamami hari priye panchakapa trivyascha kripa sinubhyevacha padiranam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya This being the last day, I decide, since I'm giving a class with Satchinanda Maharaj, we were talking about which verse to, and I suggested this verse, probably one of the more unlikely verses to speak on, especially the last day of a seminar or a retreat. But it's always possible to speak on such an important verse as this and try to make it appropriate. And Satchinanda Maharaj agreed. Probably whatever verse I would have said, he would have agreed. Someone has to lead. So why did I choose this particular verse? I guess you'll find out when we go through the verse. So we can repeat. This is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text number 24. Tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastito gyatva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartumi harhasi tasmat shastram pramanam te Karya karya vyastitao Kyatva shastra vidhanoktam Karma kartami harasi Since there are two speakers, I will avoid repeating the verse and will avoid the word for word and we'll go right into the translation, the purport. And my phone must be out of battery, so... No, I can read it from here. One should know, therefore know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. So purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the 15th chapter, all the rules and regulations of the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. So where does it say that in the 15th chapter? Does anyone know? Any of our scholars here? Or aspiring scholars? You sound so doubtful. Why don't you, you have to say it with conviction. And translation? What does Savasya mean? You could have said it in English too. Because we have a translator for those who don't understand Serbian. But anyhow, say it in English. I'm in everyone's heart.
I'm present in everyone's heart, and from me is coming
remembrance.
Knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance. I'm the compiler of the Vedas, and among all the Vedas, I'm to be known.
By all the Vedas, I'm to be known. Yes, very good. So, this is it. See, Krishna gave you the remembrance. If one understands Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, engaging himself in devotional service, he has reached the highest perfection of knowledge offered by the Vedic literature. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process very easy. He asked people simply to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to engage in devotional service of the Lord, and to eat the remnants of foodstuff offered to the deity. One who is directly engaged in all these devotional activities is to be understood as having studied all Vedic literature. He has come to the conclusion perfectly. Of course, for the ordinary persons who are not in Krishna consciousness or are not engaged in devotional service, what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the Vedas. One should act accordingly without argument. That is called following the principles of Shastra or a scripture. Shastra is without the four principal defects that are visible in the conditioned soul: imperfect senses, the propensity for cheating, certainty of committing mistakes, and certainty of being illusion. These four principal defects in conditioned life disqualify one from putting forward rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations as described in the Shastra, being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by the great saints, acharyas, and great souls. In India, there are many parties of spiritual understanding, generally classified as two, the impersonalists and the personalists. Both of them, however, lead their lives according to the principles of the Vedas. Without following the principles of the scriptures, one cannot elevate himself to the perfectional stage. One who is actually therefore understands the purport of the Shastras is considered fortunate. In human society, aversion to the principles of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all fall downs. That is the greatest offense of human life. Therefore, Maya, the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always giving us trouble in the shape of the threefold miseries. This material energy is constituted of the three modes of material nature. One has to raise oneself at least to the mode of goodness before the path to understanding the Supreme Lord can be open. Without raising oneself to the standard of the mode of goodness, one remains in ignorance and passion, which are the cause of demoniac life. Those in the modes of passion and ignorance deride the scriptures, deride the holy man, and deride the proper understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, and they do not care for the regulations of the scriptures. In spite of hearing the glories of devotional service, they are not attracted. Thus, they manufacture their own way of elevation. These are some of the defects of human society which lead to the demoniac status of life. If, however, one is able to be guided by a proper and bona fide spiritual master who can lead one to the path of elevation to the highest stage, then one's life becomes successful. So the verse again. Tasma shastram pramanam te karya karya vyastito gyatva shastra vidhan oktam karma kartam iharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so he may gradually be elevated. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadhyade Sadharane. Some good news how many are for Serbia here? So I heard we had a committee to try to register our movement in Serbia again. I think it hasn't been registered for like 20 years or something. And now we submitted it. Everyone was telling me it's not possible. The government's so demoniac. They'll never register us. Just forget about it. It's not a waste of time. So we submitted it, and in 4 days, they sent us back that it's accepted. The only thing is they have to check the names that we submitted and make sure they're actually living entities. So if the names we submitted are actually living entities, then it should go through quite easily. In other words, you had to submit, for us, we submitted 108 names, suspicious names, and the government will check out and see if they're really actual living persons living in Serbia, qualified to be part of our society, and if they are, then it'll be accepted. So that's good. That's number one. Number two is that, as Sachinanda Maharaj was expressing concern about, you know, how is the movement going to go on in Serbia or in other parts of Croatia or other parts, even ISKCON. And he was offering different suggestions how it can go on. So we do have devotees working on different aspects. And the reason why I chose this verse particularly is because our movement will be successful if we base it on Shastra, Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Because we're not going to create success. If Krishna wants our movement to be successful, and our movement is his movement, it's him. In other words, if we base it on his teachings, coming down into simple succession, then we'll be worthy of being successful. That is, presenting Krishna. And if we don't base our movement on Krishna's teachings, and we have different aspects of his teachings. In other words, we'll be successful as much as we assimilate his teachings and base our movement specifically upon his teachings. Now, there's many aspects to our movement, just like there are many aspects to a body. We have, as I was explaining many times, we have the circulatory system in our body, we have the digestive system, we have the nervous system. We have 9 different major systems according to Western medicine. And if they're all working in harmony and in balance with each other, then we have a healthy body. And a healthy body grows. As I've said many times, if you have a child, you don't have to command your child to grow. 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 If the child is not growing, there's something wrong. That means that there must be some imbalance in the child's health that has to be corrected. And once the imbalance is corrected, then naturally the child will grow. Similarly, in ISKCON, we have so many different parts of our ISKCON. We have our outreach program, we have our devotee care, we have our administration. We have so many things, and they're all important parts of the body. We can't say, oh, the nervous system, we don't need a nervous system. That's old-fashioned. Only people who are nervous need a nervous system. No, every part of the body is important. It's not that if we get the body working in harmony, in balance, then we're minimizing or over any part of the body. Every part is important. So we need charismatic leaders, we need outreach, we need buildings, we need so many different things, but we need them in balance for the movement to properly grow. And balance will depend upon different time, place, and circumstance. I was explaining that it's just normal, it's just a normal way of looking at things. There's so many people who are not Krishna conscious, and we wanted to bring them in to hear about how to become Krishna conscious. That secret everyone here knows, how to become Krishna conscious. And many people don't know that if they chant Hare Krishna, they'll actually make some progress spiritually. They'll actually find out what real spiritual means. And they may find out about eating prasadam and that there's a Krishna. We know so many things, karma, that we're eternal, that people don't know. So just bringing people in to our programs or even going out on the street and telling people, by the way, you happen to be eternal. You may not know that, but you know, it's an interesting fact. We thought you might be interested in it. But that's usually not sufficient. As I mentioned the other day, one time I was out distributing books in Austin, Texas. They have a big school there. 50,000 students were going there. And I was distributing books, and one student came up to me and took a look at the book, and I showed him the changing body. Your body's changing. You had a five-year-old body. And I said, which body do you have? And he pointed out the student body in our picture. I said, wow, I'm not this body. That's fantastic. So I gave him back the book, and I said, you know, why don't you keep the book and give a donation? And he gave me back the book, and he shook my hand. He said, I don't need your book, but wow, that's fantastic information. And then he left. So that's called Maya. So we may tell them something. They may even buy a book, but actually we want them to come and hear from the realized devotees. We may not be realized to the highest degree, but we realize enough to tell people, chant Hare Krishna. And here's some beads, and you go one bead, two bead, and there's 108. When you get to the head bead, you go back. All of us, we have that much realization. And then after they come, we want them to actually become committed, or part of the congregation, to come regularly. To come regularly and start increasing their rounds, following four regular principles, instead of three, instead of no meat, fish, and eggs, there's other principles too. So we want them to gradually increase their following the principles, and then they become part of the committed. So they go from the community to the crowd, to the congregation, to the committed, that they chant 16 rounds, they follow the principles. They may be inclined, even at this stage, to give regular donations. They're actually engaged in pure devotional service. They take initiation. They identify themselves as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And then they can go a step further. They can become part of the core. Those who are fully, or as much as they can, engage in pure devotional service, spreading Krishna consciousness, both within our society and outside our society. They're the part, they participate in outreach, some of them participate in devotee care. When people come, they serve as in different type, visit our temples, they help organize the programs. They do the help with the management. There's so many services to do if we want to do them. And if they're organized, if there is a vision of how to engage everyone who wants to engage in missionary work, not only how to engage their words, not only engage their intelligence, not only engage their wealth, but even engage their lives in Krishna service. So this is one aspect that we can rely on Shastra for. Prabhupada has said so many things about this. Krishna has said so many things about that. And if we want to organize that way, our first business is to find out what Prabhupada, our acharyas, and Krishna said about these things, and especially Prabhupada and Krishna. To base our bringing people in, training them up, sending them out upon what Prabhupada and Krishna tell us how to do it. So therefore we have some group of devotees working on that, hopefully in a meeting regularly, to go through Prabhupada's books and examine how do we bring people in according to Prabhupada's books. When people come, how do we present our movement? Do people walk in and they look around and they say, well, these people are unusual, but I wonder what they're doing. And there's no one to ask there because they're all kind of like in ecstasy or something. I don't know how I really fit in here. I just kind of like got this card, come to this feast, and they sit down and someone says, you know, hey, you know, do you know you're not this body? How many principles do you follow anyhow? What principles? You know, are you having illicit sex? Are you taking intoxication? Are you gambling? Are you eating meat? And they say, oh, yes, wow, you're a demon. They always tell me one time in Australia, Prabhupada was giving a heavy lecture to the devotees, because at that time they're all, you know, they're all devotees. And Prabhupada was going, if you eat meat, you're going to go to hell. And Prabhupada was, and then he was, if you have illicit sex, you're going to go to hell. And just at this moment, one hippie walked in. And Prabhupada was going, if you eat meat, you're going to go to hell. If you have illicit sex, you're going to go to hell. And the hippie went, and immediately, whoa, let me get out of here. Now the Christians, because I've been reading some Christian books on how they organize their movement, like before you go, get into Saddleback Church, if you're coming for the first time, or even more than the first time, they have three sets of people to greet you. And they're all trained up. They all have a smile. They all want to be helpful. They all are there to serve you. They don't get any bhakta points. They don't get anything. They're just there as servants to make you feel at home. So there's a group of people to greet you when the car pulls in. When your car pulls in. And the people who are in, members of Saddleback Church, they park in the rear so that the people, the newcomers that come, they can have a space right in front. And the person who heads Saddleback Church and the other pastors, they park even further away. And people come, there's people who park, and they all have a big smile, and they're all helpful to tell them where to go. And then they come to the greeting place, where they're welcomed, and they, if they want anything, there's the signs everywhere. But if they ask for, to go, say, to the toilet, then there's someone to bring them there. And then they come to the place where there's the meeting, and then there's someone to sit them down and give them the program guide and to explain them what we're doing. So there's three sets of greeters, and all of them are smiling and friendly. They're all trained up. And there's greeters for the old people, there's greeters for the young people, there's greeters for those who have families, there's even greeters for the children. There's children greeters who greet the children so that they feel at home. Not that you're 90 years old and you come and everyone else is 15 or 20. Then you feel quite out of place. Maybe I made a wrong turn. So in other words, they have figured it out that actually we should encourage people to come to our temple. And they've worked it out in detail over decades, how to make their society more attractive so that people can hear peacefully the message of God. And they've worked it out in detail. Now, we can also do the same thing. Krishna is not preventing us from doing that. We don't have to put on other dress than we have. If we have nice, clean saris and dhotis, people don't mind that. As a matter of fact, from my experience, is that people like monks. The majority of people like monks. Even Ravana liked monks, although he's a demon. He liked to eat them. But he still liked the monks. Generally, I get, for the most part, whenever I travel in Dhoti and Tilak, people, and shaven head, people are much more respectful than traveling in ordinary clothes. So we can do that, and it's in Prabhupada's books. Be friendly to people, you know. Arrange life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. So we can make things in such a way as remind people about Krishna. When Gop Kumar came back to the spiritual world, then when Krishna saw him, he didn't think, oh my God, another devotee. I don't know how to take care of all these people. No, as soon as he saw Gop Kumar, immediately he ran towards Gop Kumar, and he was so ecstatic. He told, well, first of all, he told Sridham, this is Swarup, the best of your clan. And then he ran towards Gop Kumar and he embraced him. And Krishna was so ecstatic that tears were flowing from his eyes and he fainted. And he was on the ground and his tears were producing mud on the ground. He was so ecstatic unconsciously because he was so happy that Swarup came back to the spiritual world. Now, when someone comes to our temple, how do we feel? Well, we may not be able to imitate Krishna, but we should try to feel something positive and make the arrangements for something positive. Otherwise, we're just in the training period. In the beginning, the devotees were fearful. If too many people came, then there wouldn't be enough prasadam for them. First time I went to a Sunday feast at 26 Second Avenue, actually 61 Second Avenue, then the devotees all lined up when it was time for the prasadam, and they were all in front, and the guests were in the back. And I didn't know better, so I was with the guests, although I was a devotee also at that time, but I figured, well, all right. And by the time they got to the guests, all the prasadam was gone. And I didn't get any prasadam except for one devotee, Rohini Kumar, took me in the back and gave me some Simply Wonderfuls, which were simply wonderful. So that kind of, you can imagine how many people came back to the Sunday feast. Not very many. But they weren't sincere, Prabhu. So we have to satisfy their needs, not just our needs. And if we do that, then people will actually believe when we say we're servants of the servants. Otherwise, we may talk about calling each other Prabhu, and we may think, yes, that's very nice. Everyone's calling me Prabhu. And out of respect, I call them Prabhu also. But at least they recognized who the real Prabhu is, me. So these things are all based on Shastra. We should organize our movement based on Shastra. And we should train people up. It's not enough just to join the Hare Krishna movement. At every stage of commitment, and there are different stages of the commitment, there has to be recognition of that commitment and education, not only what the duties are on that level of commitment, but also what you can expect in return. It's not a one-way street. You surrender everything, Prabhu, and then just rely upon Krishna. Devotees have surrendered all their money, their whole life, all their energy. They worked overworked, they got sick, and then they went to the authorities, please help me, I'm sick, I've surrendered everything, you know, and they say, oh, sorry, we have no money for you, go home to your mother. So, unless we actually have a complete picture, as they say, from cradle to grave, based on Shastra, based upon Prabhupada's teachings, elevating people to a higher and higher standard of devotion. And devotion means love for Krishna and love for his devotees. So if we don't take care of the devotees, we don't take care of the innocent, we don't take care of ourselves, where is our love growing? How is our love growing? If you love your wife and she gets sick and you kick her out of the house and tell her to go back to your mother, it means your love for your wife didn't grow very much over the years. Generally, the husband At least if you want to take sannyas in this movement, you have to take care of your wife before you take sannyas, before you even become a sannyas candidate. So at least we made some recognition, at least in the sannyas ministry, that if you really want to renounce the world, first of all, you have to make sure that you take care of your obligations to the devotees. You just can't leave someone you supposedly love and not take care of them. That you have a duty to take care of, at least. So if we're actually going to, if our movement is actually progressing from simply bringing people in to making them part of our crowd, to making part of the congregation, to bring them into the committed and the core, then we better make sure that everyone feels that they're being loved and taken care of. Otherwise, then our philosophy is just so many words. And if it's just so many words, ultimately people will think we're hypocrites or foolish or ignorant. And then our movement will not spread at all. So this is a big, big topic. And it can't be covered just in one time. And it really takes some thoughtfulness what to do. And the first thing that I'm recommending to that particular group of devotees, they should go sit down with Prabhupada's books and have meetings regularly and fill in these different stages. What did Prabhupada say about bringing in the uncommitted, unchurched, the community? What did he say about when they come, how we bring them to a higher level of regularly attendees, becoming part of the crowd? What did Prabhupada say and Krishna say about making them part of the congregation? What did Prabhupada say about making them part of the committed members of our society? What did Prabhupada say about making them part of our core of our society? Who's qualified, what their duties, what they can expect, how we do it. There's so many things in our books. And if we do that, we can expect the mercy of Krishna, of Prabhupada, our acharyas and Krishna. Because we're actually becoming their servants. We're finding out what they want us to do according to time, place, and circumstance. And if we don't do that, then the previous verse applies, which is Yakshastra Vidim Ustrija Karya Kari Vyavyastito Get Anashi. Yakshastra Vidim Ustrija Vartate Kama Karata Sasidim Avapnoti Nasukam Na Param Gitim. Those who don't follow scripture and work whimsically can have neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So we're kind of in between. In other words, we're aspiring devotees, therefore we follow Shastra to some degree and we act whimsically to some degree. Whimsically means anything we don't do without real thoughtfulness of what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra want us to do as confirmed by the super soul within our heart, that it's clear that this is what Krishna wants me to do and I'm doing it just to please him. That's called Krishna consciousness. That will produce Krishna consciousness. And if we're not so thoughtful, we forget who this energy belongs to. If we're not so much aware of what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra and Krishna want us to do, and we're not so much inclined to do it just to please Krishna, then we don't get the full effect. We get a partial effect. We have a partial experience of Krishna consciousness. But we want to increase that. We want to become more deep and serious, and we want to make it clear what's to be done and what's not to be done, so it becomes easy to participate in this Krishna consciousness movement. And we see people are coming, people are being trained, people are getting the happy result of becoming conscious of Krishna, and this movement is going to go on, and our acharyas are pleased, and Krishna is pleased, and we'll all be pleased, and the misguided civilization, we can actually make some change in it. And that's called success. Hare Krishna. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vamiti Namni Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadani Nirvishesha Paskatyati Satarani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasu Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna
Krishna Hare Hare
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. His Holiness Prahlada Ananda Maharaj gave further explanations of this verse. He urged us to understand that we should become Krishna conscious and see that we can spread Krishna consciousness in an attractive way, keeping all the various aspects which this entails. In mind, starting with greeting new guests, so following all the programs in Krishna consciousness. I think the urgent need here in Serbia is to somehow bring the train of Krishna consciousness on the right track so that Krishna consciousness will grow naturally, that is, will like a healthy child get the right nourishment and then move on. Now, I would just like to say Prabhupada's take on following the scripture, following a process which is outlined by the acharyas, and what happens if we don't follow it. He has mentioned this in the preceding verse. He says everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically according to his lust, greed and desire, then he never will be perfect in his life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. Now these are quite intense reminders, but they are, let us say, helpful if we can understand their intention. When an acharya speaks like this, then Maharaj has picked such a subject as following, you know, following a process. It is out of, let us say, concern and the desire to motivate us to get on the right path. Prabhupada continues, and I think if you hear this with an open heart, you will have to agree with it from your own experience in your life. In the human form of life, he says, the living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. See, the path which is given by Srila Prabhupada before him, the parampara, is a very carefully considered, time-tested process which brings us first away from the dangerous situations and the mode of ignorance and rajaguna, where we just go astray to material life, and they bring us gradually to a platform where we can actually approach Krishna. So he says that what is necessary for us to understand these principles, and then equally necessary, if not even more necessary, it is to see, to apply them in our lives for our ultimate success. And then Prabhupada makes a very interesting point. You will find in various movements which are aligned with the Vedic scriptures and try to follow them in some ways, that they will agree, yes, but this Gaudiya Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness as another dimension or a higher dimension, a dimension to this point of following the rules and regulations of the Shastras that gradually elevate us. He says, but even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles, and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotion service. It is then and there that he attains the highest perfection stage, not otherwise. I know when you hear a text which is read to you, it's sometimes not easy to catch all the points, so let me repeat them. The Shastras give us a very systematic process to elevate us from the influence of the lower modes of nature so that we can approach a platform where we are relatively free from these degrading influences. And then, on this platform, it is highly important to get to the actual purpose of life, that is to engage in the loving devotional service of Krishna. In other words, these rules of the scriptures exist for the purpose of making us capable to serve Krishna. And both are very important, and I think it is brought beautifully together in what Maharaj said. So we are not doing this austerities, this following, just to torture ourselves or just to deny ourselves the pleasures of tamagun and rajagun. No, we are doing this to come to the platform where we can joyfully, freely engage in Krishna's devotional service. Therefore, it is perfect to the text which we read. Now, this text which you have all read and Maharaj spoke about, Prabhupada says, the devotee should engage in the, how does he say it? Here it is. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process very easy. He asked people simply to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And to engage in the devotional service of the Lord and eat the remnants of foodstuff offered to the deity, one who is directly engaged in all these devotional This can be understood as having studied all Vedic literature. So very, very, very wonderful. The goal of all these Vedas, the goal of the rules of the regulations is to help us get out of the lower energies. Prabhupada says this material energy is constituted of the three modes of material nature. One has to rise himself, at least to the mode of progress, before the path to understand the Supreme Lord can be opened. This is the idea. Follow these principles, and then you come to the mode of goodness, and then you can do what is of the actual importance, to understand what is the purpose of all the Vedic scriptures. And let us, Bhakti Gandhi quoted this verse, about all the Vedas, actually Krishna should be understood. No? So Mahaprabhu's process really is all about this last point, understanding Krishna. But the process will not work if we are totally in the tamagun and rajagun. And therefore we must also follow the Vedic scriptures. And you can see that in the process of initiation in Mahaprabhu's process, which promised four rules and regulations which help us to move out of Tama and Rajas, and then we should chant Hare Krishna. One devotee once asked Prabhupada, what if one chants more than 16 rounds? Prabhupada said, that is desired, that is wanted. So, yes, then one is free to chant. Thank you, it's very nice one. So if you pick this verse, I think it is helping us a little bit to understand why do we still have difficulties. It could well be because we have too much associated with tamas and rajas in our ordinary life, not here at the summer camp, but outside. We should watch this, and then we can happily, joyfully, and without these impediments, engage in the devotional service of Krishna. I suggest we still have time, and
maybe we should ask the devotees to ask questions to the two of us.
Sure.
Is that a good idea?
So, if you have any questions to these subjects, or any questions you would like to ask before the summer comes to the close, please ask the two of us. Just not one thing. Was it planned to have Mrigendra also in this Mrigendra? Do you know when you, I'm not before, when you also, as he is a scene, is it meant for you? Then maybe Mrigendra can sometimes also pitch it.
Yeah, sure.
Sit here, Mrigendra.
We don't want to take the microphone. So, the question is the answer. Because three lectures is a question to answer. So any questions and answers? Many questions and answers. But that's the question of the first one. See, someone is dead, please.
Thank you.
Shubhavi asked, and she said she was a little confused when it was said that all the knowledge that we gain, we lose it at one point. And that she read that if we are not taking properly, and that she read that Krishna remembers all the knowledge that we gained and that is never lost. That was the question.
Are you understanding the question? I don't know. Do you understand? Please, please.
There's a difference between... There's a difference between knowledge and spiritual advancement. And the four kinds of pious people who approach Krishna, two of them are interested in material advancement. Two of them are interested in spiritual advancement, and two of them are interested in advancement of knowledge, namely the Karma Yogi and the Jnana Yogi. But spiritual life is different from that. Knowledge is meant to bring us to the platform of devotional service and love for Krishna. It's love for Krishna and our devotional service which is permanent. Knowledge can come and go very easily. It can be remembered sometime and then forgotten. It's only when we actually apply that knowledge in devotional service and love for Krishna that it actually gives us permanent results. Is that right?
This part of the lecture is absolutely dependent on you, so please turn your brain a little bit, or your heart, or to see if there's anything you would like.
I have two questions. I would like to ask one devotee was saying that when there is no preaching, when somebody doesn't preach, then knowledge is lost. Okay, well, another question would be if you can give some examples for preaching in the Three Lords of the Day, which is the Sakhana Swami. You mentioned it. You can give some examples. I mean, in the world, not reaching up. In the fact that it was mentioned,
and you mentioned it myself. The question was that our preaching is knowledge lost.
If there is no preaching, then knowledge is lost.
The second is that. Oh yeah.
I can say something on the second question by quoting Kapila Dev in the third canto, which is related to the today's verse. He says that Bhavati Yogu Bhavati Bhumara, there are different many parts of devotional service, bhakti yoga. And then it depends on the svabhava guna, on the nature in which the performer of devotional service is situated. And then he gives examples of devotional service, which we can call preaching, which is a main activity in devotional service. So those who execute devotional service in a mode of ignorance, they manifest any pride, violence, anger, and have a separatist mentality, Bhina, which and Bhina drift. They see separately in groups, they don't see the connection of Krishna and his energies and the living entities. And those who worship the Lord in the temple by also separatist mentality with a motive of material enjoyment, then ignorance is devotion in the world of passion. So from these verses it's obvious that one can preach even in the world of ignorance and passion, but that will be true. that will be manifested with these negative tendencies. And Prabhupada said in today's circle that we can't actually approach and understand the stream of a mess of ice, but sattva-dhamma. So we have to endeavor to fight with our lower nature and the modes of ignorance and passion, especially and in our dealings with other boys, in our preaching, in our devotional service retreat. You know, try to purify the envy, pride, and anger, and desires for pain, and profit, distinction, and enjoyment for ourselves. Associated with other devotees, sincerely trying to serve, becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. And was purified by our hearts. In prayer, Krishna and Śrīla Prabhupāda and our spiritual master, so to help us. Otherwise, if we perform our devotional service or preach, it won't be successful, and it won't please the Lord. That's what he says later on. Please to be set up or something. And in manifesting the spirit, we divide in groups and we fight. And that's in the world also. We can never be successful. As Prabhupada has mentioned, we want to grow as that. We are one family, and we are telling people we're one family, please join us in our family. But if there is no love between the devotees and there is separatist mentality, nobody would like to join this family.
On the other question, is knowledge lost if we don't share it? I would like to say that there are two paths. One is the path of those who just cultivate Krishna consciousness inside their heart, the Vajananadis, and the other path is that of the preacher, the Gosyananadis. So we are in our movement more encouraged to go the path of the Gosyananis, because it is really seen when you share spiritual knowledge, it somehow grows within you. that is the experience. And I think there are even verses to that effect. The knowledge, when you speak it and you share it with others, it is not depleted, you're not becoming empty of it. If you give away water from your thermos, then if you give so much water away, your thermos is empty. But when you give Krishna consciousness away, it increases in you, right? By Krishna's grace, he's pleased with your blessing. So, yes, even a new devotee can see that when he tells people about Krishna consciousness, he becomes so assured, his faith becomes so confirmed actually by what happens, that he becomes extremely blissful. The same thing is that when you are a book distribution and you distribute transcendental literature, you just become so enriched in Krishna consciousness. It's amazing, because Krishna is very pleased at that time. Thank you for these two wonderful questions. Are there other questions?
Maybe at the back, one Mataji in the back.
Hare Krishna. Krishna openly declares in Bhagavad Gita that these conditioned souls have to surrender to him, to become his devotees, and to so like all other processes and the state of Krishna consciousness. So my question is, what is Krishna's infinite desire with us conditioned souls? On one side, he declares openly something, and there is another side, this question on his innermost desire with us. Hare Krishna. Ja sam pitala
Well, Krishna is quite realistic. He's probably the most realistic of anyone. Therefore, he'd like us to at least go towards him, somehow or another. Now, after speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Arjuna seemed to agree with everything so far, therefore Krishna told him confidential knowledge. And when that was done, he told him something about more confidential knowledge. Then he gave him the most confidential knowledge. And then in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asked Arjuna, have you understood, have you been listening at all? Or have you been falling asleep during my class? And then he asked Arjuna, has your ignorance and illusion dispelled? And you're going to do what I asked you to do. And Arjuna confirmed it. And he actually fought in the battle of Kurukshetra, following Krishna's directions. Now, Krishna gave something in Bhagavad Gita to everyone. So at least they are on the path. So what Krishna wants us at least to do is get on the right path, to go forward, to go towards the light rather than the darkness. So minimum, that's what he wants. But if we're already on the path of light, and then we take a detour to back to darkness, that will not help. Krishna will not be very pleased. He wants us to begin the process and keep on going all the way to perfection. That's what Krishna wants. And if we start towards perfection and then we go back towards the darkness, Krishna will be very disappointed. And he'll, in every way possible, he'll try and discourage us. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, Maya is specifically there to chastise us if we don't go in the right direction. And and the internal energy is there to encourage us as soon as we go in the right direction. So Krishna has arranged it to try and encourage us when we go towards him and try and discourage us when we go away from him. Maharaj?
Yes. Other questions? There is one question, Mahapurusha Prabhu. By the way, nice to see you. Hare Krishna.
If we are oriented and focused on our spiritual advancement, in the sense of that, we could say that we're responsible for our spiritual life. And my question is, if somebody is oriented and focused on material experiences, how we can be responsible for the spiritual life of the person? This is my question. Can we
be responsible for the person who is materially focused and not so spiritually? Yeah.
I can answer this in a general way, but not in a specific way. Maybe you have a specific case in mind, and because this is not expressed, so I can talk it in a general way. In a way, the devotees have a responsibility towards all living entities. Mahaprabhu said a devotee has to be jivadaya, that is, merciful towards the living entities. We found this out when we came to our house. There were dogs around us in the house who were so starved, you could see they had absolutely no stomach anymore. They were just so starved. And, we decided that if we have something extra, prasadam extra, it is our duty to feed the jivas, the living entities who are now around us. So, in a general way, devotees have responsibilities towards living entities to help them in some ways grow. But obviously, when someone does not wish to take the help and decides to go on the material path despite our offers, then what can be done? Even God does not interfere in the independence of a living entity. What to speak of? There is no possibility, what can be done? But from our side, we should really try our best to help people, and even devotees maybe who have made a decision to go the material path more. We should do our best to help them. I think it's a responsibility, but then we have to accept when they decide, no, I want to go another way. And also, I think we have no other choice. A person who does not wish to be helped, you can't force it. This is a general answer. I don't know if it will satisfy the core of your question, but I cannot say more. Are there any other questions, please? Yes, I see two Matajis are there. I saw first.
Jasna Dada se zahvali Pranadana Mahađu za predivnu lekciju koja je jako bila inspirativna, specijalno onaj deo kada je priča o dužnostima koji imaju Grihasi. Želela sam da zamoli pre svega nekako GPC-a i sve ostale cene vajšnjene grupe, da možda malo više priča o sledećoj kampanji za vreme godine, kad kupon dolazi o dužnostima Grihasi. Jer generalno našim častima se govori o dužnostima pakla, vajšnava, koji su glavno odnose na sanjasi i brahmačari. I mi smo svi, većina nas imali cijenje kao brahmačarine i brahmačari i znamo šta je sada način tenke sankirta. Međutim, kad smo ušli u Riha Staša, onda smo se tu pogubili. I onda često imamo problem da mislimo da mi u Riha Staša možda trebamo da živimo kao neki post sanjasi. I često se dešava, nažalost, ja sam ispričala s tim svojim komandom Džajatara sami, da u iskupnom jako puno razloga i da deca jako pate to. I htjela sam isto da kažem da sam jako bila inspirisana sa lekcijom koja je dala Tara Mateći, jer ona jako puno priča o dužnostima muža, dužnostima žene i dužnostima Grihasta. I sam ja koja živim i 15 godina saznala jako puno stvari. I htjela sam da zamolim ako imate primjere nekih divnih starih vajšnava koji su u zemlje vajšnava ili vanaprasthe, ako mogu malo češće da dolazim u našu zemlju i da nam pričaju malo dužnosti na žene, dužnosti i muže, kako da nekako nas ispriču da budemo bolji roditelji i bolji vajšnava. I would like to thank Pranadana Mahađu for wonderful class at Hike,
especially for this part about the husband's duties. Because all of us, we have like spirits, we were trained by Brahmacharini or Brahmacharis in temple, and we know what is Sadhana, what is Sankirtana, what is preaching. But later on, when we started with Vrihasthas, we found that we are a little bit lost. We started with like, some focus, Brahmacharis and Brahmacharinis, and we saw that many Vrihastha couples was divorced, especially after 14, 15 years. This is like a big crisis in the Vrihastha life. Kids coming in teenagers period, and we just disappearing for them. And this is actually a very bad preaching, first of all for ourselves, for our kids, and for another people. And I was very, very inspired by one lecture that Kadaya Mataji gave. She was talking so nicely about duty of husband, duty of Mataji, of wife, and asking for the husbands. And I would like to ask you if you have some good examples. So we have the couples who are senior Vaishnavas or Vanatastas already, if they can come to our countries and have like some seminars or some brooking without the victim, we will be paying also like the pastors. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I think that Prabhupada has given us enough example in the scriptures. There's so many examples of good grihasthas and some mistakes that they sometimes make. For instance, Kasyapa Muni and Diti, some mistake and how they rectify their mistakes. There's so many good Kardama Muni and Devahuti. There's so many good examples. And even with to look outside our experience, our own experience, is not, sometimes it's helpful, but it's also helpful to take responsibility ourselves and help the other grihasthas. For instance, if we're an experienced grihastha, we may not have been perfect in our grihastha life, or we may not be perfect, but we can help others because we've learned so many lessons, and we can help them, and by helping them, we'll also help ourselves. Because when we give this, our experience and our knowledge, it fertilizes it. And Krishna gives us intelligence how to realize actually the values of the things that we know that we're doing. It actually strengthens it. And when we try to help others, Krishna in our heart as a super soul actually illuminates the things that we think we know. He helps us know them even better than we thought we knew them. So I think there's enough senior, experienced grihasthas who may not have been perfect, but they've learned their enough lessons. They can certainly help each other and help others come to a higher standard of grihastha life. And if Krishna arranges, someone comes by. But the difficulty when someone comes to a new country that they're not familiar with, they may not know the history, the time, the place, the circumstances, and they may give valuable instructions, but it may somewhat be based upon their own personal experience in a particular time, place, and audience, and may not be so much familiar with the exact circumstances that they find themselves in when they go to a different environment. But those who lived in this environment have the experience, who are senior devotees here, they should help out especially, and that will be very valuable.
There was one last question, Sita was there, then I think we have to close the questions and answer session for time reasons so that we can check and get out in time from here.
I would like to ask any one of you three who is inspired to share with us inspiration. My question is, why we always say that we should be nice to other people because of preaching and because of bringing new people rather than because Krishna is in the heart of people? I'm asking this question, and I will not be humble. I'm asking this question because
devotees leave their heart here in association of devotees. But on a practical level, what is happening when we go back to our countries, to our town, is that some devotees will try to focus on Krishna consciousness in a mood that they will say that their women are Maya, that their kids are entanglement. And my question, sorry because of messy question, but my actual question is how to avoid that. I'm trying to focus on the root because I see that in practical areas that we most of the time say be nice to other people because of preaching, because of bringing new people. But I'm asking myself and you all, what is it with the old people? Thank you very much.
Our devotees.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Start with Mahendra.
Well, I think what Maharaj said, that we have to treat and greet new people doesn't exclude that we treat and care between ourselves, between devotees, between family members. That is, unless we practice that, it will be very difficult to be polite and nice with others. So, what would this expression in English? Charity starts at home. We have to start first practicing it between ourselves, and then it will be very natural, otherwise it will be vicious to be rough and nasty between ourselves and then smile to others. So, we have to start practicing it between ourselves, and that's the Vaishnava culture. If we cultivate humility, which is an essential quality according to Chaitanya, if we want to be part of the Sankirtan movement, then we will treat everyone with respect and nice and polite. That's the greatest obstacle if we see that we're not exhibiting that. Means we have some contamination, some lapses. We have to work on that sincerely and chanting very attentively and to Krishna for help.
Alright.
Yes, this is a very important reminder, actually. I would like to just, what Magdalena said, I think it's obvious that it is, yes, that is true. But, I think we must think of the next step now and develop systems of care. For instance, I know in the Chopati community in Mumbai, it is in the Radha Gopinath, it's the deity, you know Chopati, His Holiness Radhakrishna Maharaj, leads it. They have such systems in place, you know, that there are, when devotees are, individual devotees fall in need, then there is a fund of luxury from which the devotees are taken care of. And I think that is something to be aspired for in all yajnas. I know that in Germany we are now having we work on such a system. It's not easy because we all know how poor our movement is financially, but it must definitely, it's true, not all the energy and all the investment of energy, time, money, it should not only go to preaching, it must go inside. And it is good that we remind ourselves of this and work. I very much appreciated yesterday there was one devotee, Bhakti Granta, got up and made a little a collection for one devotee in Serbia and need, but many more devotees in need, and we must have it definitely. It's something which I think is nice of you, and you should keep on reminding us gently that systems are put in place. It's not easy, but it must be done.
We know what our philosophy is, we just don't apply it. Now, the opportunity to apply it, for instance, in book distribution, you can't sell any books to people and get away with it unless you're nice to people. You can cheat people, you can force people, but after a while you won't get away with it. But if we learn to be nice to people and we find out the happy results, Krishna is pleased on book distribution when we're nice to people and we encourage people and in some way and they take the book and give a donation. We get some encouragement from Krishna. Now we go back into the Association of Devotees and we don't apply what we learned there, that's very unfortunate. It means we're neophyte devotees. And the society is supposed to encourage us because we're not only talking about going out and outreach and distributing Krishna consciousness to others, we're also talking about distributing Krishna consciousness amongst ourselves. And when we work to distribute Krishna consciousness to others, we also learn how to cooperate with, work together, and the happy result of doing that is that Krishna is pleased and we become pleased, the higher taste. Now, that also applies to the family life. If our vision is that in the temple I'm an angel, and outside the temple I'm two little horns come up and the tail comes up. Well, that's very unfortunate. It means that we haven't really learned the lessons that are being taught, because as Mahendraprabhu was saying, the basic principle is family life. A husband should see the wife as Krishna's servant, and the wife should see the husband as Krishna's servant, and they should see their children as Krishna's servants and act accordingly. If they can't do that, then at least they should see the wife as the goddess of fortune and the husband as, you know, the representative of Narayan. Something should be there. So if we're not civilized, if we're not Krishna conscious, then at least we should be civilized. So then there's some hope in the future, if we practice Krishna consciousness together, one day we might become Krishna conscious. So our philosophy is not only about outreach, it's also about inreach, how we can actually become Krishna conscious in association with each other, which, as Mahendraprabhu said, is the basic principle, is the basis by which we would want to go out and make others Krishna conscious. Unless we go through the process of learning the process, applying the process in our lives, become committed to the process, and actually develop a family atmosphere within the society, then there's no impetus to go out and give it to others. If we're not happy with what we're doing, why would we want to give it to anyone else? So that applies to the family also. Unless we're happy in family life, why would we, in Krishna conscious family life, why would we want to go out and make other people Krishna conscious in their family life? Now, we're only responsible for ourselves. We can't demand the everyone in my family, you must be Krishna conscious. But we can try to become Krishna conscious and do the best we can. And if it's impossible to do that, then there's some leeway, at times at least, under certain circumstances, to go somewhere else. But that may be quite extreme in most cases. In any case, there's Krishna conscious family life, and there's different degrees of it. and we can try to follow the best we can and try to get help from others. But more than that, what can we do? Vasudev had to hand over his children to Kamsa. He was not very happy about it, but that's, as Prabhupada writes, when you have no other alternative, you use your intelligence to the best you can, and when the circumstances are not favorable, then you have to, you're a servant of the circumstances.
So we have come to the closure of this lecture. I see Martha Mooney is making some final announcements.